We love this church. I'm sorry.
I wonder, how many of you ladies were in the retreat? How many? Well, I tell you what, you ladies, I want you to do. I want you to elbow a person on each side of you and say, "We're going to give an offering tonight to the Why Nots." Just, you know, just elbow. So just take my word for it. Just take my word. What is going on?
This is the Memorial Ladies Retreat hat. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. I'll explain it very briefly, but I'll explain it in a minute.
All right, just ask God what He would have you to do. This offering goes completely to bless the Why Nots. And how many know you can have fun and be a Christian too?
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. So let's do it right now, and we'll just won't have to think about that, even as good a thought as it is. Amen. Let's ask God what He would have us do in this offering. I've got to stop and write a check real quick myself, and then we're ready for the Word of God. How many expecting to hear from God tonight? I said, how many are expecting to hear from God tonight? How many know that one word from God can and will change your life? All right. Praise God. Amen. All right. Well, let's just bring a love offering and say thank you to be here tonight. Even though it blesses the Why Nots, this is a missionary offering tonight and will help the gospel go forth in a stronger way in Romania.
Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to thank all you ladies for wearing your hats tonight. Somebody give me that hat and let me share. Teresa, bring your hat. You know, this is not something I planned to do earlier or that day. But sometimes we just need to be able to see ourselves the way God sees us and remember who we really are. We're just children of God. We're not as grown up as we think we are. We're supposed to be grown up in front of people. But when we're around the Lord, we got to be just little kids. So somebody had a hat on in the ladies' retreat. Did you need to say? And I asked her if I could borrow her hat. And I said, you know, we see people around all the time with hats like this. And I said, you know, they mean business. They think they mean business. But I said, you know, I was a few years ago, Pastor Bob, when revival first broke out here, I came to the meeting. Rufus and I came to the meeting expecting to receive something. Now, God had been promising revival to my heart for 12 years, and I just kept waiting for it to happen. But we had to just go on and do what God told us to do. And then revival broke out here, and we came back. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go get me some. And I remember sitting there, and everybody around me was laughing and falling on the floor, falling under the Spirit. And I sat there, and I just kind of got ticked off. I said, this is not fair. I waited 12 years for this, and now I can't get any. And I said, what is the matter? And I was just grumbling to myself. And the Lord spoke to me, and He said, Deidre, you're wearing the wrong hat tonight. You didn't come here as a preacher. You didn't come here as a teacher. You didn't come here as an observer. You did not come here as an analyst. That's the reason you're not receiving. He said, you need to put your kid's hat on. And I said, okay. I didn't feel like it when I put it on. But I said, yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I will put my kid's hat on. Now, nothing happened particularly in that particular meeting. But when I left there and we went to the next place, the power of God hit me and I said, bless God, I got it. And so I just want to help you tonight and tell you, put your kid's hat on. Because God's trying to talk to little kids tonight. Little kids know how to receive. They don't hold back. They're not so serious and they're not so about themselves. And so that's what this is all about. So I wore that hat and I gave back that lady and they went into Granbury and found a hat just like that and gave it to me. So ladies, I'm going to ask you to keep your hats on. Thank you, Robert. Here's a man that's not too proud to wear a hat. Hallelujah. So every time I look out tonight and I see the, your hats, I'm going to be encouraged. You can do it, Deidre. You can do this. You can do this. Hallelujah. First of all, let me just thank Pastor Bob and Joy and Pam and Laurie and Ashley and all of the ladies that were involved in setting up this ladies' meeting. It was just wonderful. And all the ladies that participated, I just appreciate it so much. And I appreciate how well you treated Rufus. You've been treating Rufus and I. We just appreciate it so much. And it's not because of an obligation. I just sensed it was out of love. And I appreciate that. Hallelujah. So I just wanted to tell you that. This has been our home church since 1983, wasn't it, honey? In 1983, we came here, went to Bible school, and this church sent us out. And we've been out ever since, trying to move with Jesus, working to move with Jesus. Tonight, can I just talk to you like friends? Just talk to you like friends. And the reason I say friends is because anybody that's a friend of Jesus is a friend of mine. You know, you run into some people, and they say they're a friend of Jesus, and I think they want to be. They just haven't learned how yet. If you've been here very long, if you've been with the Lord very long, you found out you have to pay a price to be a friend of Jesus. But when you pay the price to be a friend of Jesus, he's that much sweeter. He's that much better. He tastes really good. Hallelujah. He's the sweetest thing you could possibly ever, ever, ever taste. And no matter what comes your way, no matter what storms come your way, listen, the devil wants you to stop thinking Jesus is sweet. But I tell you what, in the midst of all that, you find out that Jesus gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. Some of the best times I've had with in the presence of God, some of the times that I have felt his sweetness and his presence so much was in the time of trials and temptations, but even in tragedies. I remember a few years ago when our grandson died, it was a tragedy. It really was. I won't go into detail and tell you my sad story, but I tell you, when we got the news, it was a shock. But the first thing I said was, Lord, the first thing I'm going to do is praise you and worship you. This is the time to praise and worship you. I'm not going to let the devil get a sting in on this one. I'm going to worship you because that's where the victory is. Hallelujah. Now, there have been times when I had to discipline myself to do that. Just make a decision to do that, even though my soul was crying out so badly, just to moan and groan and to feel desperate and lost. But I have learned the more I do that, it's easier and easier every time. It gets easier. In fact, it gets to be something that is a place you run to. It's a strength. You know, I know where I'll find my peace. I know where I'll find my joy. There's nobody else here to mourn with me or groan with me. But the Lord is here. And I remember I was in such shock. I couldn't even cry. I was in such shock. But I began to worship and praise God. And after a few minutes, it was the most interesting thing. After a few minutes, I went in and I sat down on my bed and I continued to worship and praise and sing unto the Lord. And suddenly I felt something down deep on the inside of me, something rising up. And it was like a moaning. It was like a groaning. And I began to weep. But this was not something that came out of my emotions. This was not something that came out of my head. This came out right out of the very depths of me. And I knew the Holy Ghost was saying, let me take your hand and we're going to walk through this together. And I found out that God's form of grief is precious and it's sweet. So as I sat there crying out of the very depths of me, I knew there was a cleansing. It was like I was being washed and cleansed. And I was rejoicing while I was weeping. I'd never experienced that before. But I tell you, I walked into a place and I knew this is life. This is why the Bible says that it's easy for us as Christians. It will just take hold of the Holy Spirit. He'll take us through any kind of grief. So if you're going through any kind of grief tonight, if you're going through anything like that at all tonight, just tell Jesus, take my hand and lead me through. And he will. And at the end, there'll be victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you'll be so much better to help those who are still grieving or don't know how to grieve yet. Hallelujah. This world is in a state of grief. They're grieving. They don't even know they're grieving. But they're moaning and they're groaning because it is horrible out there. And they're coming to a place of desperation. And when they cry out, we've got to be there ready for them. Hallelujah. We've got to know how to take them through to victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me get a little water here first. I just want to share real briefly about what happened this weekend with the ladies. It was like a team. Now, you have to understand, when I came in here and I saw all the great things that are going on, and believe me, as somebody that's not here all the time coming in, you see it. You see the unity. You see the love of God. You see the power of God flowing. I think sometimes when we get in the middle of those things, we don't see what's going on. But I'm telling you, something is happening here, and you know it. But I mean, it's not just the soul winning. Something's happening in this body. There's a pulling together supernaturally. There's a bonding in the spirit. It's crossing all kinds of boundaries, and the Holy Spirit is doing what he said he was going to do. Now, back in 75, 79, somewhere in there, I was in an Assembly of God retreat, brother, and you were there, and you sang. Yes, Brother Hall, you sang, and that's the first time I ever heard you sing. Back in 1979, I guess, it was in Berchtesgaden in Germany. Remember that. And as we stood as a congregation and we began to worship and praise God, and Brother Hall was there leading us into all of that, suddenly I had an open vision of the body of Christ coming together in unity. It wasn't something physical. I saw it by the Spirit, but my eyes were open. It was an open vision. And it so overwhelmed me that I had to get out of that room and get off by myself and talk to God about it. And I said, God, I want to see that. And he said to me, Deidre, you will, but you're going to pay a price for it. Hallelujah. We are in those days. And I tell you, I'm seeing it in various places. I'm seeing it in our church. Hallelujah. But I'm really seeing it here. It is so beautiful when you see brothers and sisters come together. And I tell you, if you try to explain to somebody, you can't even put it in words. It's beyond description. But the results you can see. It's just like Jesus said about the born-again man. You can't see him physically. He's like the wind. The Spirit of God is like the wind. But you can see the effects of it. And I see the effects of it. I saw love on these women's faces. I saw they could have fun, and I saw that they were serious about it. And I saw God was building an army. And I know it's not just the women, but it's the men of this church. And I want to talk about that tonight. I want us to turn to Acts. There's two sets of scriptures I just want to, as briefly as possible, talk about. But I want us to talk to the book of Acts in chapter 2. But anyway, this was the easiest thing. Now, you have to understand that we come from a place where we've had to work for years to get our church. Our church is moving into unity now. And we have another church in a village that's moving together in unity. But God has moved us out into a place, and we have two pastors in another area of the country, and they're facing some of the hard stuff we faced about 20 years ago. And so we're there to encourage them and to train them and to help them understand what they're going through and to help lift their hands up so that they can make a stand there, because God is going to build those two churches to be a platform and a foundation for these end times when the lost are going to be flooding in. They're going to need to come into some place that's not religious. They're going to have to come into some place that's not going to bring them back into bondage again. Some place that's real, some place that absolutely manifests the power and the love and the reality of God. And so I told them, I said, now listen, your job, your main job is to stand, never compromise, and don't quit. And if you can do that, God can do the rest of it. Because that'll be the hardest thing you ever do, is to stand, not move, and not compromise, and don't quit. Hallelujah. So anyway, back to this meeting we had. The ladies, it was like a team, guy. I walked in there, and the praise and worship was so anointed. Pam and Linda was there helping lead that. And I'm telling you, people just moved into the presence of God so easily. There was such a strong, strong anointing there. And it was so precious. And so when Pam nodded me to walk up there, you know what? I just kind of slid into the anointing. It was kind of like greasy ground. You just slid into it. It was so easy. I thought, oh, I died and went to heaven. It was so easy. So basically, this wasn't, you go into some places and you have to pump the people up. You have to get them awake. They love God, but they're asleep, you know. And you have to wake them up. You have to nudge them. You have to do something to get their attention. But it wasn't like that. I mean, they got my attention. Ladies, you got my attention. You helped me preach. They helped me preach. I mean, they just sucked it out of me. Hallelujah. You know how wonderful that is for a minister to go into a place where somebody just sucks it out of them? Oh, you don't have to struggle with it. You don't have to force feed them. You know what it's like with babies. Sometimes you have to force feed them. You play games with them till they open their mouth. This was just wonderful. I've never seen such a group that loved to eat. And I'm talking about food, and they may love to do that too. But you guys were piggy. Give me more. I can't do that very well. Hallelujah. It was great. It was great. And I thought, oh my goodness. And this was just a few of you. The rest of the church is right there too. So I thought, well, I was thinking, what am I going to minister on? And I thought, why do anything different? Why don't we just keep on doing what we were doing? Hallelujah. Let's just keep on. Hallelujah. Doing what we're doing. So in Acts chapter 2, we know the story. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came the sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as Spirit gave them utterance. Now from there we know they couldn't contain it. The upper room couldn't contain them, and they just poured out onto the streets and exploded into Jerusalem. And there was 120 of them. 120 of them. And as they were just being led by the Holy Spirit, I mean, they weren't self-conscious. They weren't self-conscious at all. They were just overpowered by the Holy Spirit. It was Jesus in them. And as they began to tell of the wonderful works of Jesus in the various languages of the people, It got the people's attention. You know, everywhere I read in the Bible, when God does something, he always does something or says something to bring people to a point of a question. Without a question, people don't make decisions. And that question was, what meaneth this? Listen, that's our job, to cause people to question, to cause people to wonder, what is going on here? Hallelujah. I mean, these people weren't making fun. These people, some of them were, but these people were saying, I don't understand this. What's going on? We ought to bring them to a point where they can't have any glib answers about what's going on. That they're stumped at what's going on. That the psychiatrists and the psychologists and all the newscasters and all of the latest voices from the world don't have something to say about it. They're just kind of dumbstruck. They can't deny it anymore. There's too much of it. It's not just a one-time thing. It's not just a little bit here and a little bit there, but it's everywhere. Hallelujah. That's what's going to happen. It's already happening. Hallelujah. And we're a part of that company. We're a part of that body. Hallelujah. But now here's the neat thing. After all of a sudden people are saying, what does this mean? And they're beginning to talk to one another. Now God's really got to get their attention. Are they going to start making excuses? Somebody's going to, listen, I've never seen it fail. Every time we have got out on the street and tried to witness to people and gathered a crowd, there's always some guy or some little old lady over there gathering their little congregation to come against what we're doing. It happens every time. So Jesus was smart. He said, okay, we got to get this crowd together as one, hearing the same message. We got to have some interpretation here. When is there an interpreter in the house? What is happening? What meaneth this? And so God raised up a man that day, Peter. We know how many times Peter stuck his foot in his mouth, but this day God got his foot in his mouth and he began to speak. Said, better get a hold of Peter quick before he does something silly. So I'll let him talk today. So Peter gets up and he says, Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. He settled that question. But this is that. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned unto darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Now I'm here to tell you today that God just dropped this in my heart and in my mouth a few weeks ago as I was standing before our church, and I said, you know what? We are the this is that generation. We're not going to be talking about what God's going to do. We're not going to be talking about what God is like, all those things. We're going to let them see for themselves. God is going to say, okay, step aside and let me show them what you've been talking about and promising all this time, just like Joel. Hallelujah. And we get to be the people that the people run up to us and say, I have a question. What is going on? Do you know what is going on? Now, a few years ago when we were in Berlin and we were about to leave and come and move to Romania, God spoke to me something. He said, now, Deidre, when you go to Romania and I begin to move, I don't want to hear your name. I don't want to hear your name. I want to hear this. What's going on? What's going on? And then people say, I don't know. It must be Jesus. That's what we're to be. No big stars, only Jesus. No big names, only Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, because he's the name we're going to have to uplift. That's the name we're here to uplift. Hallelujah. And we'll be glad to do it. And we'd be foolish to say anything else, because we could never do what Jesus is about to do, ever. There's some things we can do, but there's just some things you can never do. You have to say, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, I want you to remember that. We are that. This is that generation. Hallelujah. God moves, and we just tell, we just interpret it. This is what's happening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can't get any better gospel than that. So we know these things are already happening. I hear about it. I'm hearing from about the evangelistic things that are outreaches that are going on, and how wonderful and how marvelous that is, and what great things are already happening. But there's another element of this that I want to bring out, which is very, very important. And this is something God told me about 8 or 10 years ago. He said, start preparing the church for the end time harvest. Now, that's not such a shocking statement in itself. That's not so unusual. But I have to admit, at first, I did not quite understand what that meant. You know, you automatically think of, well, we need a means by which we can integrate all of these people in here. We need programs. We need more teachers. We need more this. We need more equipment. We need more, you know what I'm talking about, where your mind goes. You know what? We can't imagine or think the way God's got this all planned out. He's got ways and things planned that Paul said it in Ephesians chapter 3. I got greater than you can imagine or think or even ask for. And if you notice, he said that right after he's talking in chapter from verses 14 through 21. He's talking about, Paul is praying for the unity of the body of Christ coming together. And he says, when this happens, you are going to finally see the big picture. Up to now, you've been seeing the little puzzle pieces. But now God is saying, I'm going to let you have the whole thing. A few years ago, we were just graduating from Bible school, and we were invited to come and minister in a local church not far from here. And the pastor got up, and he prophesied over us, and he said, I see, wherever you're going, people say, we don't do things that way. Boy, has that turned out to be the truth. Everywhere we want, we don't do things that way. You need to get in the groove with us. But if you do what I tell you to do, he said, I see a pie, and I see it all divided up into pieces. And he said, but if you will do what I tell you to do, you won't just have one little piece of pie. You can have the whole thing. Now, I'm not going to spend much time talking about that. But God's opened my eyes to see that I can be a part of the whole. The whole thing. I'm cooperating more with God about the whole thing. And yes, I have a part. But God's doing so much more than we can imagine and think, guys. This is so much bigger than we know. And we're so much bigger than we know. We're part of a body so much bigger than we can understand. Hallelujah. But God said, if you'll do it my way, you can have the whole thing. So let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. And I want to share some things with you concerning the elements of what it means to be prepared. We've been talking to our church and telling, now listen, guys, we've come into a beautiful unity and fellowship here. And we're all in agreement, and we're one accord, and we're getting more and more every day, and we're beginning to see signs and wonders. We're beginning to see great things. But our church is just about ready to get shook up. Two things. Number one, our nice, clean, spiritually clean little church, you know what I'm talking about? When they come in, they get born again, but they're going to bring their junk with them. And we got to help them get rid of their junk. We got to help them get their bodies healed. We got to help them, as you said today, get their lives cleaned up. It's not automatic. Wouldn't it be nice if it was? But it's not. And we're going to have enough love and strength. So what the key is, you got to have a core of people that are strong enough to handle the weight of all of this stuff that's going to come in. If you don't have a core of people, it can just, I mean, it's kind of like a bomb dropping in the middle of your church. Everything goes flying. Everything goes flying here and flying there. But I tell you, I've seen enough bombs dropped in this church. There's been a lot of debris and collateral damage. Boom, 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 boom. But that which cannot be moved has not been moved. In Hebrews, it says in there that Jesus says, once again, I shall shake the church. I'm shaking in a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. All it does is test you to see if you're grounded and you're founded. And so when you get, you know, Jesus said, if you just had two or three and they're grounded and they're stable, they can change a whole town. But from those two or three, God can multiply and it'll stay. And you won't just have a harvest, you'll have a generational thing. And that's what we need, something that goes from generation to generation to generation. Something that continue to multiply itself and not wear out. Hallelujah. That's what we need. People that can stand and never compromise and never quit, no matter what's going on around them. And I see that's what God is doing here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's built a core. He's building a core. Hallelujah. And so all of these people that are coming in, even if they're not all here yet, when they come in, you'll be able to integrate them supernaturally. And then all the natural integration will follow. But if you can't supernaturally and spiritually integrate them, after a while they'll leave anyway. They won't be able to stick. You got to pass your glue on. You got to be gluey, and you got to get others gluey. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I want to read here something about David. And I just want you to imagine the church today. Verse 23, it says, and these are the numbers of the bands. Now, David is about to be ready to be enthroned on the throne of Israel. You know, Saul had been on the throne, but Saul proved to be a big disappointment to God. You know, this is interesting. Sometimes we get disappointed about things that happen in the body of Christ. But you know what? God still got control of the throne. He does. He still has control of his church. And so it says, and these are the numbers of the bands or the tribes that were ready, armed to the war, and came to David to Hebron. They came to him. Are you hearing me? They came to him. They came to him. You may think you're here by accident, but you're coming to Jesus. You're coming to this pastor. They're gathering around you, Pastor Bob and Joy. God is bringing them. God is bringing them because you have a job to do. You have a call and a ministry and a job to do. And it says to turn the kingdom of Saul to him. We're going to turn the kingdom of darkness to Jesus. According to the word of the Lord, God is gathering people together. He is going to take them where they belong. He knows how to get them where they belong. He knows how to get the ones here that are supposed to be here. And of the children, in verse 32, and of the children of Issachar, now they name all of these different tribes with their army, they're different, what we would call units, military units. And he talks about what they've got to offer. But I want you to notice in verse 32, and of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times. (Laughter) You can have all of the army. You can have all the equipment. You can have all of the people. You can even get all of the people in here. But if you don't have an understanding of what to do with them, you'll lose them. I remember at 9/11, I heard the story about that next Sunday. The churches in New York City were full to overflowing with people who were hurting and confused and frightened. But the churches were not ready. They didn't know what to do with them. That's not going to happen now. We're going to understand what to do with them. And as a result, all of those people were lost. All of those people were lost. What a tragedy. It's, to me, that's greater tragedy than the 9/11 situation. But this says that God, see, this is what this church has been all about. You've been all this time preparing for such an hour as this. Preparing for this time. There's been great things that happened, but this is getting better and better and better. It always gets better toward the end. You always say the best to the last. Understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. And this is one thing I'm seeing in our church. The people are beginning to change. Our leaders are beginning to gain such godly wisdom and understanding that I didn't even have when I started out in the ministry. We didn't even have when we came to Romania. I've never seen anybody grow as fast as they do. They're just absorbing. It's like God is pouring out things on them. They have understanding. We can sit down and talk. And if I want to say something, they're already ahead of me. They're two or three steps ahead of me. They've already seen it. They've already moved out on it. And I believe it's happening here too. And let me tell you something. I'm not the least bit jealous. I'm thrilled. That's what we came there for, is to see people become better than us. You know, Jesus said, you're going to do better things than I did. And that's what we want. And that's what you're here for. You've been preparing. If you've stayed here, you've stayed by this stuff, you've been faithful. And maybe some of you have thought, why? Some of you have thought, well, okay, I'm being obedient. Okay, God will give me a little reward. Let me tell you, you have no idea. You have no idea what you've been waiting for. Hallelujah. You've been waiting on the inside of you because you knew God said, don't move. Don't stray. Don't go away. That's hard to do when you see a lot of stuff going on around you. Let me tell you something. I shared this. I don't know whether I should say it, but I will. We were here during the 80s. Things were popping back in those days. They were popping a lot of different places. In fact, I have to admit, I said, God, why aren't we going over there? Things are popping. And God said, yeah, but they're going to pop out. This thing hasn't popped yet, but when it does, watch out. The issue is not popping. The issue is lasting, staying, never burning out, never quitting. Hallelujah. Wait for the good stuff. Hallelujah. And so, there were people that would come in, and they're popping all over the place. I was kind of amazed. I'm going, Lord, you know, people were popping and popping and popping and popping and popping. And I kind of felt inferior. I thought, God, I'm not popping. God, I don't feel like I'm popping. You know, and they all look like, woo, doors are opening. They're going here. They're going there. I mean, they were popping. They were popping all over the place. You know, many have never occurred to them are supposed to pop into the bowl. Some of them popped on the ground. Some of them popped over somewhere else. I don't know where they landed, but, you know, I haven't seen them again. Hallelujah. That's what I call the popping 80s. Thank God. How many of you were here during the 80s and earlier when things began to pop? Hallelujah. If you could stay still, you did good. If you could outlive the popping years, you did good, because this is not going to be pop. This is going to be an explosion. This is not one of those little grenades that goes off accidentally. This is a timed bomb. Timed. Strategic and timed. Hallelujah. Praise. Set to go off when nobody expects it. But when it does, wow, watch out. Hallelujah. That's who we're going to be. That's what we're called to be a part of. That's what we're going to be a part of. But see, when all this popping is going on and we're all excited, at the same time, God is saying, now listen to me. Let me tell you what to do with all of these people that are coming in. Not just strategies, but how to keep them when they get here. Because this is what we have to understand. They're coming into family. They're not coming into an institution. They're not just coming into a building. They're coming into the very first thing God ever established, the first institution He ever established and from which everything comes, and that's family. That's what God used an ark to save what? Family. Family. I mean, He destroyed everything else just to save family. And there weren't very many of them. But he said, it's good seed. And I'm going to save it. Hallelujah. Praise God. So this is what you've been building. You've been building an ark called family. It's the church. Today is the ark of today is the church. And it's family. You can have lots of programs, and that's okay. That's good. But if you don't have that familial relationship and you don't reach out to them with more than just their body, you got to reach out to their soul. You got to reach out to their spirit. They got to come to the place they know you by the Spirit. They know one another by the Spirit. Hallelujah. And they're trained, and you got to train their souls. You got to train them to know how to take dominion over their souls and over their bodies. To come in unity with themselves first. Hallelujah. So that anointing can flow through them. Praise God. And that's what God showed me. I had a vision, a night vision in 1975. And I saw a big ocean liner. I won't go into the whole dream that I had. But it was practically empty. And we were in the middle of a stormy sea, and I was outside on the boat outside, and we were in a horrible stormy sea. And there were men and running in and out of this radio shack in the front of the boat, and they were shouting to one another, and they were saying this: if we don't get back on track before the light comes, before daylight comes, we're lost forever. God's getting the church back on track. God is getting this church on track. Because the next thing that happened was we were invading a town. We were going down right down the main street of the town. And there were people coming out of churches everywhere, shaking the hands of the pastors. But there was disaster in the streets. Floodwaters were rising and they didn't know it. And I thought, God, if they don't see it, and they're going to die. They're going to die if they don't see that the floodwaters are rising. And I saw that vision later. God never told me I could get out of that boat. But a few months later, I was in a Kenneth Copeland meeting, actually. And I remember T.L. Osborne was speaking. And suddenly I saw an open vision of that ocean liner. And it was white. It had a red cross on the side. And there were people all over the top of it. Now it was full to overflowing. And they were all waving flags from different nations. And God said, if you could see the emblem on each flag, it would tell you what they were delivered from, what they were saved from. And they were waving their flags. Hallelujah. And then I had another dream about that same ocean liner. And I saw us, and there were people in the water, and we were pulling them aboard. We were just pulling them aboard. And that's what we've been building. We've been building an ark that can reach out and save people and pull them out of the drowning situations, dreaming out of their water. And I tell you what, this is the day when people are going to get desperate enough to reach up and let you pull them in. You're already seeing this. And there's going to be more of it. So when we're looking around in a dark, stormy world and it looks horrible, don't be tempted to be frightened, because you're in an ark. And those people out there are frightened. They need to be frightened. But it's that fear that's going to open the door, more and more doors for us to pull them on. If they're not desperate, they'll mock. But when they get desperate, they'll stop mocking. They'll receive the truth, and we'll pull them in. And we're moving into that time. And you're already a part of that. That's already what is happening. Hallelujah. And there's going to be so many more. So don't quit what you're doing. Don't quit what you're doing. I'm going to keep reading on, because I'm going to close pretty quickly. Not only are the leaders going to have understanding, but God showed me that the individual Christians will have understanding in their personal lives about how to do things. Everything else in the world is falling apart. The economic system globally is falling apart. They just don't have understanding of what to do, and they admit it. The medical world doesn't know how to handle all the diseases that are coming about. Things are failing. The world system is failing. So we need to have faith in God. We need to put our faith in God. There may be coming a time when the doctors can't help us, that the financial system, we can't go to it. It just won't be there for us. But God will be. And God showed me, he said, that he will give you understanding of how to be successful in your business, how to be successful in your marriage, how to be successful with your children, how to be successful in everything you do, so that people ask, what meaneth this? You'll be taken care of. And you'll answer questions. And the answer will be Jesus. So you're going to have... It's not just going to be about the pastors and the evangelists and the fivefold ministry. It's about you. You are a key. You're a key. Let's read verse 33. And of the tribe of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war. We're not going to have, God's not going to have a people who are just good at a few things. He's going to have a group of people who are ambidextrous, so to speak, spiritually ambidextrous. They're expert in doing all kinds of things. They become, you know, Paul said, bring faithful men and God will make them able. If you're faithful, God can stick you temporarily in a situation that you have no understanding of how to deal with it at all, and God will give you supernatural understanding, and you'll think you've got some kind of supernatural gift forever, and it maybe it's just for a season, but you'll walk in it as if you've been doing it for years. Hallelujah. That's the kind of time we're walking. That's what we're walking into, brothers and sisters. So get your expectators on. Let's stop being spectators and put your expectators on. Forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000, listen to this part, this is really encouraging to a pastor, which could keep rank. This is what drill sergeants are for. They got to have patience to deal with a bunch of young recruits who don't even know how to march properly, much less keep unity, you know, keep in unison. Keep in unison. I saw a bunch of ladies that could march in order together. They could march in order, and they weren't running here, and they weren't running there. And that's what I believe this church is now. It's what it's coming into. And you know what it's going to do to the enemy? It's going to scare them. Because I'll tell you what, all it takes is a few people. And if the enemy can hear that, even if he can't see it, if he can hear that, it's going to scare him, because he's going to think we're a lot more than we are. And when you make a loud noise, it'll be louder than normal. Hallelujah. It's going to scare the enemy. The ladies and We had some Africans in our church. We had quite a few Africans in our church in Berlin. And we had 13 nations represented. And one of those group of people were Ethiopians. And when they would start praising and worship God, they would do something that was just ear-splitting. I mean, it sounded like a war whoop. They'd start going. Now, maybe I better back off of this thing. I had to ask one of them to help me learn how to do that. You know what? That's what the body of Christ is going to sound like. A marching army making a war whoop. Now, I said, if you're an American, maybe you have to do this. But that's what we're going to sound like to the enemy. You know, it'll be music and it'll be the gospel to people whose hearts are open. But it will absolutely be terror. We're going to, you talk about the terrorists that are going around doing things. Honey, they're nothing. That's just the devil's best efforts. But the body of Christ is going to terrorize the devil. We're going to terrorize the devil. We're going to make those guys look like nothing. Hallelujah. We don't even have to compete with them. Hallelujah. Just become in unity. Come into the presence of God. Soak in the presence of God. Let the anointing come on you. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. They could keep rank and they were not of double heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, this is just a simple message, but I'm telling you, these are things that God showed me a long time ago, and I'm seeing them come to pass. And I'm telling you, there's more to come. Hallelujah. And I just thank you for the opportunity to come here and share with you and encourage you and tell you. It's like Pastor Bob says, it's good now, but there's more to come, and it's going to get better all of the time. Thank you, Pastor.
God, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God speaking to his body. God speaking to his body tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Wonder if we could stand tonight. God speaking, I know, to all of our hearts. Secret of the early church, secret of the book of Acts, secret of the day of Pentecost. They were there in one place and one accord. Praise God. One place. I wonder if we could just have a final moment of prayer together here tonight and just come forward. And wonder if we could just lift our hearts to God. Just worship Him. Oh, that we'll just respond to the life of God. Those that are stable, those that are trustworthy. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Oh, thank you, Father. Amen, amen, amen. Lord, we just thank you for a spirit of harmony and unity. Oh, God, not weakness, but strength, strength, strength. Lord, what makes a mighty rope strong is many strands woven together. Ropes that can hold a giant ship at dock are just ropes that are made of many, many strands woven together. Father, every service has a purpose. No throwaway services. We hear carefully what the Spirit of God has said tonight, that we flow together. Oh, that there's a new unity, a new harmony. Praise God. It's best for the kingdom of God. It's best for harvest. It's best for us. It's the only way that we can receive God's best. Father, we just lift our voices to you tonight. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Oh, let's just pray in the Spirit for a few moments here. Father, let the word be received in our spirits tonight. Hallelujah. 500 heard go to the upper room. 120 did it. Oh, Father, let us be of the 120 group that not only heard the word, but they were doers of the word. And they went to that upper room. They passed the test of holding steady until there was a unity and an outpouring of your spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Father, I'm asking. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't know how, Rufus, if you just come and step on this first step here. If there's something that you need special prayer about, if everyone could just back off a few steps, and if you need prayer, just work together. Amen. Just turn around. And Father, I just thank you tonight that there is healing in the house. There is help in the house. Father, I thank you that there is supernatural, divine unity and harmony that is flowing tonight. Amen. Now, if you would like the prayer, just stay close to the platform. Somebody help me now. Somebody help me. Somebody help me organize.
Just before Pastor said that, a specific, if anybody has back problems, to come up. That's not excluding anybody else, but specifically for back problems as well.
Thank you, Lord. Specifically, if you have back problems, that's what they... Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Father. Let's just pray while they're ministering tonight. Just let your prayer go out to God. In the name of Jesus, just let your prayer go out to God tonight. Rabatore bakashi la bakara kasai. Yerabovrikia shikodora karakasakatai. In the name of Jesus. Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Health and healing and strength. I mean, you just have your own little mini prayer meeting there while they're ministering to these. There's just a spirit of God that's in this altar area especially. Father, we just reach out. We're hungry. We're hungry for God tonight. Oh, we're hungry for God tonight. Thank you, Lord. We're hungry for God tonight. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, just worship the Lord tonight. We're in His presence.